For WKU Public Radio, I'm Kevin Willis. WKU psychology professor Sam McFarland has long been fascinated by individuals who put their lives and the lives of loved ones at risk in order to save people of a different race, ethnicity, or religious group. McFarland has recently published an article in a social psychology journal called All Humanity is My In-Group, a Measure in Studies of Identification with All Humanity. In that paper, McFarland describes the idea of identification with all humanity as the ability to view all peoples of the world as part of a sort of extended family and value the lives of those from different backgrounds equally as those from your own background. Dr. McFarland told us about the origins of his interest in the subject.
First of all, I became familiar with a number of really heroic examples of people who, during the Holocaust, went out of their way to save Jews from the Nazi Holocaust. When my wife and I were on an anniversary trip, I read a really good book by Kristen Monroe called Heart of Altruism. And she was trying to identify what the critical characteristics were of those who risk their own lives sometimes, and sometimes even the lives of their families, to save Jews who were in danger of being killed. And when she did interviews with them and comparison interviews with other people, she discovered that the critical characteristics seemed to be that they had a sense that all humanity is one family. And it transcends nationality, it transcends religion, it transcends ethnic group, it transcends every other distinction that we make about human beings. Then I became aware that there were psychologists who had talked about that, Alfred Adler and Abraham Maslow, that they thought that fully mature human beings transcend the ethnocentrisms that are around them, their sheer blind nationalism, for example, or ethnic group identification, and they care about all humanity, present and future. But then I realized that psychology had never studied this, that we'd never measured it. People had talked about it, but we'd never measured it. So I said, well, let's see if we can develop a rational measure of it and see if the measure of it works, makes sense, and if it predicts the kind of things we think it ought to predict. So that's kind of how I got started on it all.
Your paper starts with a story in 1951 about a photographer named Edward Steichen. Can you tell us about him and how he figures into this issue?
Edward Steichen published The Family of Man. It's a very famous, first of all, it was a major photo exhibit in New York, and Steichen was very concerned about the emergence of the Cold War, about McCarthyism, about what he saw as in the early 1950s as a rising tide of ethnocentrism and prejudice. And he wanted to find a way to counteract that. So he solicited photographs from all over the world, got a million of them, selected about 500 or so, and for his famous exhibit in New York called The Family of Man. There were pictures of children playing, there were pictures of marriages, there were pictures of childbirth, there were pictures of friendship, there were pictures of family, there were pictures of human destructiveness. And Steichen said that his major point on that was to make the point that how alike people are over the world. And he was trying to create this sense of common humanity, is what he knowingly was attempting to do. After the photo exhibit, it got published as a book, and I suspect many listeners will be familiar with the book, The Family of Man.
Your paper makes reference to a set of interviews that had been done with Holocaust rescuers, people who rescued Jews from the Nazis, and it found a quality with the rescuers that researchers called extensivity. What is that, and how does it factor into what you've researched for your article?
The particular study you're referring to was done by a man named Sam Olener and his wife Pearl Olener. They've been longtime professors at Humboldt State University in California, but Sam, as a 10-year-old child, was a Jewish child in Poland. And when his story, very simply, is when suddenly the Nazis came, his stepmother said to him, run away so you will live. And Sam ran away. He was hidden by a Christian family who taught him how to act as a Christian and say the catechism, for example, in Poland, so that he could survive. And he survived the war. When he tried to find his parents after the war, they had both passed away. A number of years later, Sam and his wife Pearl decided to go back to Poland and interview a large number of people who had been rescuers, like the woman who saved him, and like others who had saved Jews. And they tried to do comparison studies with those who had, you might say, just kind of stood by and watched it happen but hadn't done anything. And what the term that he came up with, which is very similar to the term identification with all humanity, was these individuals who were rescuers had a sense of responsibility toward all people. They had a responsibility, a sense of empathy toward all people, of caring toward all people. that transcended whether they were Catholic or atheist or communist or any other thing. It was just a part of a sense of who they were. So Sam and Pearl Olin's work was one of my starting points as well.
As I read your research, Dr. McFarlane, I kept asking myself, is this ability you're talking about, the ability to view humanity as equally valuable, is that something that's innate? In other words, is this an ability you either have or you don't have? Can something like empathy for other people, is that something that can be taught or learned later in life, or is it just something you're born with or you're not?
Kevin, those are great questions that we do not have answers to. And if you read the discussion part of my paper, I said, well, that's what we need to explore and understand. Why is it that some people develop a sense of all humanity as my in-group, and whereas perhaps the majority of people do not? And we don't really know. I think we can point to certain kinds of precursors. For example, excessive punitiveness, we know excessive parental neglect, we know are things that make it a person, as Alfred Adler described it, self-bound. It makes it more difficult for that person to care about persons outside themselves. So there are certain things that happen in early childhood which can facilitate it. Certainly parental affection, we would think, should facilitate the capability of it. Teaching empathy, to the degree that I heard a mother in Atlanta not too long ago as I was coming off the airplane, and she was saying to her 9-year-old son, think about other people, not just about yourself. And I wanted to stop her and say, you're a wonderful mother. I wanted to tell her what a great mother she was. Because to the degree that we can help children think that way, then they won't necessarily extend that concern for other people, to all humanity, but they will develop the precursor that might then later make it possible. You raise the question of whether possible part of it is possibly just simply in our genes, and that's certainly possible. We just simply don't know at this point.
As you know, after the Holocaust, we were told never again, and since then we've seen genocide in Rwanda, the Balkans, Sudan, the gassing deaths of thousands of Kurds in northern Iraq, and all manner of other violent conflicts between people of different countries, religion, ethnicities, tribes, etc. Has anything really improved or changed since the Holocaust?
Well, yes, actually it has. Now, it's very possible to look at conflicts that are going on in the world today and to look at the current conflict in Sudan, in Darfur, or even in between North and South Sudan, to see what's happening in Syria with the Syrian tanks and say things aren't better. But no, there is an internationalization of responsibility for genocide, crimes against humanity, and war crimes that did not exist prior to World War II. And that's slowly but surely taking hold, I think. It is a very, very slow process, but I think the sense of all humanity, that we are responsible to one another on the planet and for one another on the planet, is a sense that is growing. Now, it's still certainly not as strong as our impulses toward nationalism, toward our own group, or loyalty to our local community, but the sense that we have responsibility for people around the world to prevent horrible things like Rwanda from happening to them. There is now, of course, the International Criminal Court, which is designed to deter future Rwandas and future Holocaust. And I think we'll discover in the 21st century it does have a major deterrent effect.
We've been speaking with Dr. Sam McFarland of the WKU Psychology Department. His article is called All Humanity is My In-Group, A Measure in Studies of Identification with All Humanity. It's being published in a forthcoming issue of the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. You can find an audio archive of our interview at our website, wkyufm.org, and at our Facebook page. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Kevin Willis.